This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Good morning. Buongiorno, Ashley. Always a joy to be with you from Roma.
Oh, well, thank you, John. A big ciao from the Eternal City.
Well, Ashley, we always begin with the Holy Father's Wednesday weekly audience. What was the tone? What was his message today?
Yes, in fact, those weekly audiences still in Pope Paul VI's audience hall continue, as well as does his reflection on St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. And today he talked about how the letter of Paul really has a tone to try to make sure the Galatians, to remind the Galatians not to stray from their faith. Of course, that's a very easy thing for all of us to do. He said that they risked losing the grace that had been poured upon them if they did not correct their course. Paul reminded the Galatians about the freedom that comes with faith, about the enthusiasm that they once had for the faith. And he said, and Pope Francis today said that this is a reminder to all the faithful to really take the opportunity to reflect where one is in the faith on how to live the faith every day, every moment, to make sure that Christ's love remains at the center of everyone's lives. Because, of course, that is the authentic way to salvation. And he advised all to keep to the beauty of the newness of Christ, to remember the beauty and the newness, because he called that a precious treasure. And he said that something that can attract us momentarily could just leave us empty inside, to always beware of that, and to be encouraged by the fact that, quote from Pope Francis, even when we are tempted to turn away, God still continues to bestow his gifts. God does not abandon us, but rather abides with us in his merciful love, John.
Now, in recent days, there's been all kinds of rumors. With no confirmation that Pope Francis is drafting a document that defines the role and the task of a Pope Emeritus. What's behind these rumors, Ashley? Could Pope Francis be thinking about stepping down like Pope Benedict the 16th did before him?
So sure. So I'll answer both of those questions separately. Could he? Yes, he could resign. That's certainly a possibility. And as you pointed out, John, these are now rumors. They have no confirmation at this point. What's behind them? Well, it was really after the surgery of Pope Francis when all kinds of rumors started to circulate that maybe there was something more serious that he had that is not being made public. Perhaps, and then, of course, as people watched after the surgery and saw that he looked weak, etc., that maybe it was an indication that he would soon resign. Now, Pope Francis said in an interview about all those rumors that he said, quote, "When a pope is sick, a wind or a hurricane of a conclave rises." Now, in the meantime, La Repubblica here in Italy, the newspaper, has reported that they've learned that Pope Francis is not thinking about retirement and not drafting a document with rules for retired popes. But another option is that document on the role and the functions of Pope Emeritus could possibly be a closely held document. So in other words, something that the Pope could be working on personally and will eventually submit it to those offices that are responsible for publication only once the draft is complete. So ultimately, it's all speculation, John. We don't know, but we'll certainly keep our eye on what's happening over here.
Absolutely. I had heard a report that he actually almost laughed about it, like, you got to be kidding, that he's not thinking of stepping down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right, exactly. So reports are sort of coming from all directions right now. So like I said, I mean, it's feasibly, it's canonically a possibility, so we'll see what happens.
Today, as we've been talking about at the top of the show, September 1st, and I always remember the anniversary of the start of World War II, 82 years ago today, September 1st, 1939. Pope Francis is advancing the sainthood cause of Italian Catholic priest, Franciscan friar, Father Placido Cortesi, who saved Jews during the Holocaust in World War II. What do we know about this Franciscan priest?
quite an amazing and courageous priest, John. He died in 1944 and had been serving at that incredibly beautiful Basilica of St. Anthony in Padova, where St. Anthony himself is entombed. And he is specifically known because his confessional there he would use as a way to communicate to the underground network that was helping Jewish people as well as British prisoners of war escape the Nazi occupation of Italy. So he spent several years serving at that Basilica of St. Anthony in Padova. And at that time, he was asked to be the director of the Italian Catholic magazine. It was called Il Messaggero di Sant'Antonio. That means the messenger of St. Anthony. And actually, he grew the readership in leaps and bounds. It grew by about 500,000 under his leadership. And then after the German occupation of Padova, he started to use his printing press to make documents to help Jewish people and Allied soldiers reach safety in Switzerland. So then in October of 1944, two German SS officers actually tricked Father into leaving the safe walls of his monastery. It was actually protected as an extraterritorial property of the Holy See. And they told him that someone needed his help. Of course, it was all a made-up story. And instead, the Gestapo arrested him. They brought him to a bunker in Trieste. They brutally tortured him. And there, he died at the age of 37. Now, even today, his confessional there in the Basilica of St. Anthony of Padova continues to be a place of special devotion and prayer. And in addition to him, his cause being moved further along, there's also the Italian woman Enrica Beltrame Quattrogiocchi. And I have to say, I so admire her family because just a few years ago, her parents, Blessed Luigi and Maria, were beatified together. And as a married couple, that is such great inspiration for me and for my husband, John. And this Enrica lived her life as a lay woman dedicated to God and is being recognized for her life of heroic virtue, as is another Italian woman, Maria Cristina Celia Mocellin, who was pregnant and chose not to go under chemotherapy for cancer in order to save the life of her unborn third child, John. So just amazing heroes of virtue.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I think of Catholic priests like Father Placido Cortesi saving the lives of many Jews during the Holocaust and World War II, it just reminds me of Pope Pius the 12th, who was actually accused of not doing that. And we know that just wasn't the case.
That's right, that play, The Deputy, which really started the propaganda against Pope Pius XII. It's amazing how the power of art, the power of the word, and how we have to be so careful because it's really to that we attribute the current misunderstanding of his role. But there's more and more ways to find out the truth, like the Pave the Way Foundation, where you can learn about the truth of a hero like Pope Pius XII, John.
Ashley, what's going on in Rome and across Italy after these August holidays that we've been seeing, and now here we enter into the month of September?
You know, it's amazing, John, because during the month of August, everything closes. So if you can imagine, this is just the way it is culturally here. The businesses here, they just close their shutters and they go away for a month. So it's really a wonderful thing. It's meant to be a time of refreshment as people go to the mountains or to the sea. And my husband, John, and I remained here in Rome. And so we had a fabulous, we could say, vacanza romana, a Roman vacation, because it was so quiet. It was so peaceful here. There was no traffic. We even rented a motorino, a scooter, for the entire month of August. We were zipping everywhere. We were acting like Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn and Roman Holiday and just having lots of fun because there was no one around. But now the change happened so fast. The traffic's back. The horns are back. There's no parking places anywhere. Rome is coming to life again. And I hope that everybody had a wonderful Roman holiday.
Well, it will definitely be coming to life, especially this coming Friday, September 3rd, the feast of Pope St. Gregory the Great. Let me just tell you real briefly, my wife and I had the opportunity to be part of a private mass at the high altar of Pope St. Gregory the Great inside St. Peter's Basilica back during our honeymoon. So that's so special, something I'll never forget.
Oh, John, what an amazing gift to you and your wife. That's fantastic. And that's actually the place where pilgrims will be going on Friday, especially to venerate his remains there. You know, Pope St. Gregory the Great, he's known as the savior of the church, as the defender of Rome. He's, of course, was a great promoter of pure liturgy as well as liturgical music. And so much so to the point that his name is associated with Gregorian chant, right? And it's said he's also responsible for the evangelization of England. Now, he was the very first pope to accept the title Servus Servorum, servant of the servants of God. And his remains, John, as you mentioned, are there in St. Peter's Basilica. He died in 604 AD, and they're buried in an altar there in a beautiful marble sarcophagus. Now, he was a doctor of the church, and so to honor him, his tomb is surrounded by other great doctors of the church, St. Ambrose and Augustine and Athanasius and John Chrysostom. And then one of the things that people are captivated by, and I'm sure you and your wife remember this so clearly, is the splendid mosaic that is the altarpiece above his tomb. Now, this mosaic depicts what's called the miraculous mass of St. Gregory. It's sometimes also called the miracle of the corporal. And what happened was that the Pope was given a request by Emperor Constance for an authentic relic. And so in compliance with that, Pope Gregory gave the emperor's representative a cloth, and this cloth had been used to wrap the bones of various martyr saints. And apparently he had also wiped his chalice after dispensing the holy wine during the mass. And when this representative of the emperor looked at this cloth, he said, "Oh my goodness, what is this? This is just a paltry, worthless thing. I don't want this." But instead, Pope Gregory, right before his eyes, stabbed that cloth with a sharp blade, and the cloth began to bleed. And so this miracle is one of the most famous involving Pope St. Gregory the Great, and it is something that is depicted in that very mosaic there that you can see, that bleeding cloth. So another great reminder that we have of this St. John is the fabulous statue of St. Michael the Archangel, which is perched on top of Castle St. Angelo. Now, that great fortress that we today call Castle San Angelo was actually built in the second century as the tomb of the pagan emperor Hadrian. But in the sixth century, as Pope St. Gregory the Great was leading a procession down the Tiber, there on top of that mausoleum, on top of Hadrian's mausoleum, he saw the vision of St. Michael the Archangel. Well, this procession that the Pope was leading was especially to pray for an end to the plague. And he was carrying high the icon of Our Lady of the Health of the People of Rome. So when he saw St. Michael there, St. Michael was sheathing his sword, and he felt like that was a sign that their prayers were answered and the plague would end. And indeed it did. And so that fabulous statue of St. Michael was erected there on top of that fortress, and ever since that time has been known as Castle St. Angelo, the Castle of the Holy Angel. And I'm so happy to tell you, John, that tomorrow my parents, Nora and Fred Puglia from Springfield, Illinois, will arrive for a visit here in Rome, and we will be able to visit those holy places together on Friday. We'll be able to go to St. Peter's Basilica, to the tomb of Pope St. Gregory the Great, and to visit Castle San Angelo, where he had that great apparition. So as we do that, we will be sure to bring along the intentions of our Relevant Radio family as well, John.
Absolutely. What a joy to have your parents with you in Rome. There's yes. So much to do, and there's always so little time. Where will be the first place that you go?
Well, you know, I'm so lucky because my parents have visited before, so they've seen the main site. So what I love to do is to plan to take them to the little off the beaten path churches, the treasures that people
I
don't
love those
know
little
about.
Churches. I remember
Isn't that
it
great?
Seems like there's a Catholic church on every block in Rome. It feels like
you know
it.
What?
I know that it isn't,
there
but
is.
it feels like there's so many, and every one of them is as beautiful as the next.
is as beautiful as the next and contains relics of saints that maybe people haven't heard of or don't know a lot about. So I love to share that with people and to introduce them to new, as I call, saint friends. So this is definitely on our agenda, John. I'm so looking forward to sharing all this with them.
Well, Ashley, as always, I love your perspective. You really do bring Rome to home, and you paint that picture of what's going on in the Eternal City. And of course, always updating us on the Holy Father. Thanks again, Ashley.
Oh, it's my pleasure. God bless you. Lots of wishes from Bella Roma.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.